And so throughout that, we noticed that there were many effects that go into why the process takes as long as it takes. So obviously, after going through, we use Minitab. So I use Minitab and I put that all the data in there, and it basically just shot out a Pareto chart with a litany of effects. Some were just single effects, some were interaction effects, but the interaction effects, we actually noticed that they were pretty insignificant. Real significance showed that it was the operator experience and the review time. And those were the two biggest things that we needed to focus on to actually reduce the time of this process.
Welcome to Why They Fail, the podcast that pulls back the curtain on why continuous improvement efforts fail. Buckle up, because we're not here for motivational fluff. We're dissecting the short-sighted decisions and leadership agendas that sabotage CI success. But don't worry, we'll clue you in to the few simple keys to success to avoid these pitfalls. If you're ready for the truth, let's do this.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Why They Fail. I'm your host, Kevin Clay. Usually on this show, we break down how companies miss the mark when implementing Lean and Six Sigma. But today, we're flipping the script to talk about what happens when it's done right. We're shining a spotlight on a story of incredible success, and we have a very special guest to help us do that. He's a decorated Army officer, a West Point graduate, and a former football player for the Black Knights. In the midst of his demanding duties, he not only took on our Lean Six Sigma Fast Track to Black Belt course, but achieved it in record time. Please join me in welcoming Edris Patterson. Today, Edris is going to share his journey and walk us through the real-world military process he transformed, proving that these principles can drive powerful change anywhere.
Edris, give us a little background on who you are and your story in the Army, and how it kind of led you up to where you are now.
Yeah. So first and foremost, hello, Kevin. I appreciate you having me on the show. I appreciate all the mentorship and everything throughout the course and up to now, leading to me receiving my black belt. A little about myself. I grew up in Rahway, New Jersey, not that far from West Point. Maybe about an hour and a half or so. And like you stated, I went to West Point. I started off at the prep school there and then went to the academy following that. Played football both at the prep school and at the academy, and obviously graduated and commissioned. Now I'm an Army officer. I'm a field artillery officer currently. And currently I'm in S3 shop, which is operations. When I first joined at West Point and then being an operations officer, I've seen many different processes, and I wanted to focus on improving these processes. So throughout my time, I noticed there's plenty of waste that's all everywhere, every single day. So that's what led to me wanting to actually achieve my black belt. While at West Point, I studied engineering management, where I found my interest in, I guess, project management, process improvement, and things of that nature. So that's kind of what led me to wanting to move on to receive my Lean Six Sigma black belt.
Edris actually took our Lean Six Sigma fast track to a black belt online. It's a new offering that we have. And Edris took that, and it was funded by the Army through what's called the Army Ignited Credentialing Assistance Program, which is a phenomenal program that helps our Army soldiers get credentials so that when they transition out, even while they're in, that helps out the Army and it eventually helps out the economy. I'm really proud of that. You've taken the black belt and you had some time to focus on that. I think you are on medical leave, so you had really time to sit and plan and focus on this process. So the fast track program is actually where we take a black belt all the way from scratch. Usually it's almost like going to college. You get your undergrad first before your master's. A black belt would be considered the master's, and a green belt, which is a subset lower than that, would be your undergrad. But you kind of took them all on at the same time, which we tell people is tough. It's a really tough course, but you did it, and you actually did it really in record time, and kudos for that. So it only took you a couple of weeks to do it. In the Black Belt course, we follow the DMAIC process, define, measure, analyze, and prove and control. It's part of the foundation for how a Six Sigma practitioner solves a problem. So let's kind of talk about the process you solved and talk about the path, your journey through the DMAIC process so that other people listening to this who are thinking that want to engage in a green belt or a black belt or any one of these belts, but I'm not really sure what I'm getting into. Again, just tell us what the process was that you looked at, that you investigated, and then how did that look throughout that DMAIC process?
Yeah, so like you mentioned, so I was on convalescent leave at the time when I began my black belt course. So I had plenty of time to actually be at home and go through the online course self-paced. So that's something that I appreciated. And also you have to have that discipline to actually go through the course. No one's going to make you sit there and actually like go through your courses every day. So, but yeah, I took that time during my convalescent leave to actually take the course, complete the course. Of course, there's a few quizzes that you have to complete, but after that, then you get into the project. So the project, like you said, follows the DMAIC process. So the specific process that I looked to improve was the orders publishing process. Like I previously stated, I'm currently an S3 operations shop. So that's one of our big tasks, I would say, is to receive and publish orders. So I'm a brigade operations officer. So we receive our orders from hire and we craft our unit specific order and we end up pushing it down to our battalion units. So in that process alone, in my time as operations officer, I've noticed there's, as I talked about earlier, there's plenty of waste. So it takes a lot of time from when we receive the order from hire, it takes to the point where we have to actually publish the order down to our subordinate units.
We're talking about waste. Lean Six Sigma is a combination of two methodologies, Lean and Six Sigma. Six Sigma is really about reducing the variation in the process. You know, if you're five people are processing the same kind of order, that for the same thing, then it should take the same amount of time. And if we were to time that, we might find that processing the order, even though it's being done with the same process, it may take a widely different amounts of time because everybody does it differently. And that leads to defects. Six Sigma really focuses on variation, whereas Lean focuses on the waste in the process, the things that we do that don't add direct value to the customer. And one of them is time. So that that order probably sits in baskets and in boxes waiting for something to happen most of the time. What other kind of waste did you see in that process when you first started to investigate it?
Yeah, so obviously, like you said, so the waiting times, like when we craft the order, is waiting in the queue, waiting to be reviewed, that's the biggest one. So waiting on that review time, that's the biggest waste that we were actually able to reduce throughout the process. Also, another big thing was the rework. So a lot of times, like you mentioned, the different variations of people. So if one person sees the order and crafts it one way, how they see fit, and another person receives it and crafts it how they see fit, and then it gets sent up for approval. So one person might have more experience or is more trained on how the order process works, or how they've been typing these orders and publishing orders for a while now. But the other person might not have that same level of experience. So it goes to get approved, but is waiting all this time to get approved. And then once it gets to the approver reviews it and is like, no, this needs to get fixed. This needs to get fixed, and then kicks it back. And then now, obviously, back in that waiting phase because there's other tasks that need to be completed. And now you have to rework it and then send it back up for approval. And then so kind of just I feel like that rework phase, that has a lot to do with it as well.
And this you really found in the value stream map in the define phase. So in the define phase, we define the process. We defined how long it was taking on the median time. So we took a sample of, I think, 30 or 40 different orders. And we said, okay, our median time is this. So that helps us to understand where our current state is. And then I think you went through a value stream map, and the value stream map really showed you that you added very little value to the process. Like most of it was just sitting and waiting in different inboxes. So that was pretty telling in the defined phase. How did you measure it? How did you draw this information from a database? Did you go and do time studies?
you can say, is a database. So with all of our orders that we craft and we publish, we basically we put them all together, like it's kind of like in an Excel sheet, because the orders, is they have taskings in them. So we have to track when these tasks get complete, if these tasks are complete. So we make sure that we track all of these tasks. I just went back and, like you said, it was a sample of 30. So I just went back on that Excel sheet that we have, call it a task tracker, and I just chose a random sample of 30. And so after taking those, and then I just measured the average time, like you mentioned, it took from receiving the order, because we marked the time that we received the order from our higher unit, and all throughout the process, and we marked the time that we actually published the order. So I just took that time. That was the baseline. So that's what we took to measure and see how long it was actually taking to publish these orders.
Okay. In the measure phase, a lot of people have trouble with the MSA, the measurement system analysis, which is basically verifying that you have good data, because you know as well as I do that garbage in, garbage out. So we have to first check our data to make sure that the data that we're getting and we're going to analyze, that we have reliable data. So I believe you did an audit to make sure that those times were correct.
Yeah, that's correct. There's plenty of ways to measure. After putting those through and measuring to see just to get our baseline, we measure and we found out the average time was about 6.75. And obviously not every order will come back with that.
You probably had a huge standard deviation, which told you that the process was really kind of wildly out of control. Everybody did things their own way. Now, the hardest part of the black belt is in the analyze phase, because that's where you have to, as a black belt, you have to take the process up to a certain level of optimization and do it with regression. And you did a phenomenal regression in it, but it only took you up to a certain point. And then you did something that we really only do in our black belt course, and that's the DOE, the design of experiments, which is, it's funny that I meet a lot of people, and we work with companies all over the world, and not just manufacturing companies, but most service companies say DOE is not for service. We don't do that kind of stuff. And what you solved was a transactional process. And you partially solved it with the DOE. That's a good representation to other people that the process doesn't care what discipline you're in. It just cares that there's waste and variation. You had an experiment, controlled the experiment, had different variables that you controlled in that experiment, and then you came out with the right answer for your orders.
It all obviously definitely worked out. But yeah, like you mentioned, I did a design of experiment, and throughout that, we noticed that there were many effects that go into
right
why the process takes as long as it takes. So obviously, after going through, and we use Minitab. So I use Minitab, and I put that all the data in there, and it basically just shot out a Pareto chart with a litany of effects. There's some were just interaction effects, but the interaction effects, we actually noticed that they were pretty insignificant. Real significance showed that it was the operator experience and the review time, and those were the two biggest things that we needed to focus on to actually reduce the time of this process.
Yeah, and in most processes, we don't evaluate math to find a problem. We just sit around a boardroom table and say, "What's the problem?" But we don't have really justification of what is the problem, because we don't understand it through math and data. It's through experiential learning. Mm-hmm. And while that is a great way to solve a problem, it's never going to be as definitive as math, as definitive as using data. I think from your project, that's changed the way you think to look at data to solve a problem.
Yeah, it's definitely changed my way of thinking as a whole. Before, the reason why I wanted to go get my black belt was because I've seen plenty of processes that just a lot of waiting time, and everyone in the military knows hurry up and wait. And so obviously I wanted to reduce that waiting time. But now after actually going through the course and completing this project, it makes me focus more on the data, like you mentioned. So taking that data and actually putting it in whatever tool I'm using, like I said, for this one, I use Minitab, and actually analyzing that data to find out where exactly I can improve the overall process.
Once you found the key inputs through data and through some other tools like the FMEA, then you move those into the improve phase, and then you optimize it, because the DOE actually told you what to optimize. You had a pretty high R-squared in your DOE. What kind of effect did it have on the process? What did you take the process from in a metric and then bring it to in the improve phase?
When I first began, so baseline, the process, it was one person that's receiving the order and then reading through the order and crafting the order. That one person sends it up to the one reviewer slash approver, and then that person gives it back to the that same individual that sent it up to him or her, and then they end up doing the rework, or if there is no rework, then actually publishing it. And obviously within the S3 shop, there's plenty of tasks that have to get done. So just the orders publishing process is just one task, one of many. So the one main thing that we did was adding additional individuals, training them, and making sure that they all have the same level of training as the people who were already in the process. So even though the people who are already in the process, they already have the experience, but training more individuals, making sure that they are all up to speed and make sure that everyone is on the same sheet of music and we're working to one standard. That alone, so if one person is busy, next man, next woman, they're up. So that's one big thing that we were able to change and do in the improvement phase of the process.
So basically, you really just built the standards. Everybody could be following the same process, not their process, but following a standardized, operationalized process based on an SOP.
So adding on the individuals, yeah, we had an SOP for the baseline, but it was very loosely worded. So we tightened that up. I wouldn't even really say it was an SOP. So we actually created an SOP. Excellent. And made sure everyone followed that SOP. And that led to our improvements.
Okay. The improvement took you from where to where? It took you from, I think, that six and a half days down to something shorter.
So it was about 6.75 hours.
Okay.
Down to 6.25 hours. Which in minutes is like 405 minutes down to, I think, like 375 minutes. I'm just for the process, like on a daily basis.
Right. So you're looking at this and that, I mean, that's a pretty significant change. But what about the change in the standard deviation, in the amount of variation between these processes? So I bet you brought the standard deviation way down. And that's really where the big hit of this project comes in is I might have something that lasts, 8 or 9 hours. I don't know if you had that in your data, but I believe I saw a data that was widely varied. And then data after the process, because you added these standards and you took a lot of variation out, the standard deviation went down. So you actually moved the curve lower and then thinned the curve out as it moved.
Well, we were definitely able to lower the standard deviation. Obviously, when it was the baseline process, and there's only a few individuals in the process, and there's plenty of other things to do outside of order publishing. Sometimes there's orders that were published around 6.5 hours. And like you said, there were some orders that were published at 8 hours or something like that. So, and obviously we don't want just order publishing to be one thing that someone has to focus on the entire day at work when there's plenty of other tasks that need to be completed. And then adding on the other individuals, when they first began, they don't have that level of experience in them on board. And also when they first began, there were a wide variation of times to take to publish, but the bulk of the time was in the part of crafting the order, or it's just anywhere in the process. But we were definitely able to lower the standard deviation as well.
Awesome. And how well has this process now been accepted?
It's going really well. When it was implemented, when I first submitted everything and completed the project, I submitted it and talked with like our stakeholders. They noticed that there was a significant difference. So they were happy with that. We are continuing with the improvements, but with what we already have put in place, we are still continuing on with it. It's still going very well. We are monitoring everything, that all the tasks that we have and all the orders, And we are making sure that all the times kind of stay to a minimum. So, but ever since I completed the project, there haven't been any orders that were published past the previous median time.
Wow. Wow.
So it was going very well.
Excellent. I and my team vetted Idrisa's project throughout the DMAIC process. We went through the DMAIC. We went through Define, then we had a tollgate review. So we formally went through these different steps in the process. A lot of companies, you take on a green belt project or a black belt project and you go through the whole thing and don't really vet it till the end instead of vetting it in between each phase. And that allows us to make sure that we finish the right things. How do you think this is, how has it changed the way you think and how is this going to affect you in your career, in a career in the Army and on, you know, after the Army?
The goal was to improve processes overall, but now I look at the data more. I analyze the data more, wherever it is. So yeah, it helped my data analytics skills very much. I would say also it helped me be able to, one, improve the process within my unit. And then following when I do exit the military, I can say I have the experience and I have proven results and I can take either this process or I can then tweak it slightly, or I can just say I have the experience and I can be the one to improve process, improve my level of confidence. Those are the things that I would say it helped me with and changed my way of thinking.
Excellent statement. This is a process that goes on everywhere, so it can have huge impacts. Idrisa, thank you very much for coming on. The last thing I want to do is ask you, you know, in the class, if you had one word to describe your experience in the class, what would that be?
Amazing.
Amazing. Definitely. Amazing. Awesome. That's a great, great word.
What an incredible story. Idrisa, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your experience. It is truly a masterclass in how to approach a problem, not with guesswork, but with data. You took a complex, time-sensitive military process, applied the DMAIC framework, and achieved a significant reduction in both the average time and the variation. Your journey shows that with discipline and the right tools, anyone can drive meaningful improvement. Hearing that the one word you'd use to describe your experience was amazing is the best feedback we could hope for. You've provided a powerful example for anyone out there wondering if they can tackle their own process challenges. Thank you again for your time and your service. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Why They Fail. To make sure you never miss a conversation, subscribe to our YouTube channel. It's a completely free way to support what we do. Make sure you're following the podcast on both Spotify and Apple so you get every new episode instantly. And finally, if you found value in today's story, please leave us a 5-star review. It helps us reach more people and continue bringing you these insights. We'll see you next time.